again, and welcome to the third edition of TGSI News.
We like to think of this edition as our charity edition, as there is a basic theme of thinking about others.
Much of this show is dedicated to those living with HIV and AIDS.
We have items from a conference in Glasgow attended by senior students.
Some facts about HIV/AIDS researched by Vicky.
And also an update on the SFL department Shoebiz appeal.
We also want to welcome Iona to TGSI. She's our new entertainments correspondent. Friday the 1st of December sees the celebration of the 19th annual World AIDS Day. This year's theme is Stop AIDS, Keep the Promise. In conjunction with this worldwide event, Christian Aid and the Global Student Forum, in association with Glasgow City Council and the Church of Scotland HIV/AIDS Project, organised the first national youth conference on HIV/AIDS, which was held in Glasgow City Chambers on the 29th of November. The Gordon Schools was fortunate enough to be able to send 8 senior students to the conference, and we have 2 of them here in the studio today to talk about their experiences. But first, let's hear from our reporter, Mr. Sutcliffe, who we sent to cover the conference.
Up here in the fantastic surroundings of the Glasgow City Chambers for the first National Youth Conference on HIV/AIDS, organised by Christian Aid. 8 senior students from the Gordon Schools were chosen to attend this conference with the aim of becoming peer educators for HIV/AIDS in the Gordon Schools. I'm speaking to Maggie Lunnan, who works for Christian Aid, who's the organiser of this conference. Maggie, could you tell us what are the objectives of today's conference?
I suppose we're hoping to equip and inspire the young people from the schools across Scotland to be able to peer educate within their own communities and schools.
And what would you hope they go away from this conference with today?
Well, I hope they go away with some knowledge, and I hope they go away with the kind of passion to actually be able to change the situation globally as well as locally. I hope that they understand a lot about stigma and discrimination and how that makes the situation of HIV even worse for those who have it.
And what is it? What would you say the importance of today's conference is?
Well, apart from what I said about learning the skills and the knowledge, I think the importance of today is for all these people from across Scotland, from 22 different schools, meeting with each other and realising that they're part of something bigger. They're part of something bigger in Scotland, educationally, but they're also part of something bigger on a global scale.
So are we likely to see a similar kind of conference next year?
I certainly hope so. It may be on a different theme, but we certainly have a licence to run this conference for the whole year. And so we might be doing it in other parts of the country.
Well, I'm sure you'd be more than welcome up to Aberdeenshire. But thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
This is my PhD. Yes! Yes,
I'm now speaking to Patrick John Nayupe and a group of peer educators from Malawi who work together with the Christian Health Association of Malawi to raise awareness of HIV/AIDS amongst the youth of their country. I'd like to welcome you all to Scotland, in particular Glasgow. And could I ask one or two of you your first impressions of Scotland? Maybe it's the first time you've ever been here.
It's well impressed, and we have enjoyed it. And we are here just to learn what our friends are doing, and we'll also tell our friends what we are doing.
Thank you. The first question, what do you hope the youths, the young people at today's conference, will be able to take away with them? What ideas would you like for them to go back to their own schools maybe and tell to their peers?
The youth of this country are lacking HIV/AIDS information. They don't know more about AIDS, and we have some of the information you have provided with them, and I see that they have something in their mind.
Thank you very much.
And we hope that the message of HIV/AIDS, which we are talking with our fellow peers, will be implemented here in Scotland, because as we have seen, young people here in Scotland are impressed with what we are saying, and we have been asked a lot of questions, and we are also asking them a lot of questions. That's why these young cops will go with a good message on HIV/AIDS.
Thank you very much. Just one last question. Would you have a message that you as young people in Malawi, what message would you like to give to the young people in Scotland in regard with HIV, AIDS?
My message is they must continue abstaining from sex, because the abstinence is the only way to prevent HIV, AIDS, STIs, and even unwanted pregnancies.
In addition, she can prevent for using condom when she want to do sexual intercourse, you do with condom.
Yeah, of course, I have seen that HIV is not a problem here in Scotland. But what the youth can do is to start maybe dealing with the issues of HIV AIDS before it goes worse. Because here in Malawi, we have the problem, this problem, because we left it when it was just in the beginning. But if you can start it, if they can start it now and maybe spreading the message of HIV AIDS, HIV AIDS will not be a problem so far.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your time, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your stay in Scotland.
Right, thank you.
Let's pass to Rhiannon and Josh, who are at the conference. Josh, how did you get from Huntly to Glasgow?
Well, in the morning we had to get up really early, catch the minibus for an hour into Aberdeen and get the train from Aberdeen to Glasgow. Then we had a 5-minute walk to the Glasgow City Chambers.
Rhiannon, Glasgow City Chambers is a famous building. What were your first impressions when you got there?
Well, it looked really posh and grand with those of vaulted ceilings and marble staircases and stuff, so it was all very impressive.
Can you give the listeners a brief overview of what happened at the conference?
Well, first off, we started with the global perspective, and what it was, we were going to explain about facts and figures about AIDS and HIV around the world.
After that, a lady called Winnie, who was actually African herself, was talking to us about the effects of AIDS in the UK from a kind of local perspective.
After that, we played a short game, card game. It's called the Safe and Unsafe game. We had different sorts of cards that had different situations and different things that happen in life. We had to sort them out into the piles, whether they're safe, unsafe, or you don't actually know. After that, we had the vicious virus circle, which we had a number of cards which we had to put into place to show the situations of people, different situations, and the way they circle around and lead them one to another.
After that came the personal experience point of view, which was again from the same lady, Winnie, who was talking about how she found out that she had HIV and how it affected her and basically the steps that she had to take after she found out. And the way she's got through it all, and she's now a really healthy, happy person leading a normal life.
We then had a group of Malawian peer educators, which explained to us how they go around Britain and different countries, telling us about their experiences and then how they educate different sorts of people. What they did, they gave us a dance and songs that they done, traditional songs, that was really good.
Both of you, which part of the conference made the greatest impression on you?
I think everyone was really affected by what Winnie was saying about her personal experience, because it was the way she told it was kind of so personal and emotional, and it was really quite striking, all the experiences that she had to go through, like the uncertainty and the fear and the way that she was basically just wanted to die, and then all of a sudden she gets this new hope from a support group, and now she just represents the example of how your life can just go on as normal and it's all going to be fine kind of thing. What do you think, Josh?
Yeah, I agree that Winnie was the best part of that. It was definitely a lot personal, and it did actually hit you quite, hearing someone with actually who has AIDS and HIV.
Rhiannon, what did you learn from your attendance at today's conference?
I think we learned loads of important facts about HIV, the whole topic itself. But it also helped to, through that, it helped to clear up a few things, like different rumours and myths. And it was interesting to see the African perspective of it as well, like from the Malawian peer educators.
Josh, how are you going to follow up what you learned at the conference when you get back to school?
Well, what we're planning to do is to hold some assemblies for the juniors and the seniors and give them some facts and figures and making it making them more aware of the situation with AIDS. What we're also going to do, we're going to help in some PSC classes, first year classes, and help them educate them into what's happening about AIDS in the world.
Both of you, as a peer educator on HIV/AIDS, what message would you like to give to your peers in Scotland and throughout the world?
I would say education is the key.
I would say just get informed about it and don't let ignorance get in the way of getting informed.
Thank you very much.
Thanks to Rhiannon and Josh. Now here's Vicky with some scary statistics.
Pupils from this school would be HIV positive, with only 5 getting the help they needed. This is, of course, if we lived in Botswana, not in Huntley. The statistic may seem a little random. Allow me to explain. The 1st of December was the World AIDS Day, when people get together to think up ways of preventing AIDS and seeing how they can help those already infected. To show our school's support, a few seniors went to a national conference on AIDS to learn more about HIV, this information they plan on passing on to some of you on an upcoming assembly. Very shortly, the school will be asking for you to wear red for a fundraiser that will be raising money for the National AIDS Trust. So, just before I go, I'll leave you with one last statistic that will help you to understand the problem. Every year, 2.6 million people die from AIDS around the world, and to put it in a reference that you would understand better, by the end of this show, 75 people from your class will never pester you again. Think about it. And when we come round, please dig deep and be generous.
Welcome Iona, our new entertainment correspondent, who risked life and limb to attend the Muse concert in Aberdeen.
My name's Iona Masson, and I saw Muse on the 6th of November with 8 of my nearest and dearest friends at Aberdeen in the freezing cold weather.
We all got on the train buzzing. It was very cool, but everybody was really excited. We had brought food with us as we rushed off the school bus and had half an hour to get ourselves on the train.
And when we got to Aberdeen, we hopped on the bus and then waited in a long winding queue outside the Preston Journal Arena. We weren't that far back in the queue as we got there about 6:30. We all piled in and went straight for the merchandise counter. Emily bought a hat and a belt, Louise got a t-shirt, and Jason got a stylish hat.
We waited a long time. We were pretty close to the stage, so we were happy. There weren't many people in for a while, but we soon got pushed back a bit. They were eager and knew what to expect, unlike many of us, as it was our first live concert, but we were still fairly close to the front. We had to entertain ourselves, and there was music blaring at the CD player, so we all sang along to The Killers and a few classics. They could tell the crowd was getting agitated, so they put on Killing in the Name by Rage Against the Machine to get the crowd pumped up and ready for what was about to come. We knew all the words and were screaming them out, and pretty much everybody in the whole arena knew the words to the fantastic song.
The Noisettes finally came on about 8:15. None of us had heard of them, so we didn't know what to expect. To put it nicely, the sound tech guy got a bigger cheer. Jason Baduismen said they were shockingly bad, but the drummer was cool because he had big hair and played funny and cool.
Louise Singer said they had a few, emphasis on few, good tunes going for them, but they weren't all that great and were really there just to fill up 30 minutes before Muse came on. The drummer has awesome hair though.
So there was a half an hour break, and people started chanting and waiting for Muse to hurry up. Then about 9 p.m. the lights went off, and a well-known guitar intro to Tonight's of Cydonia roared through the arena. A black curtain fell to reveal the band, and some spectacular lighting effects. The crowd then went wild, and everyone was jumping, cameras flashing everywhere, and people kept putting their phones in the air, so you couldn't see. People were pushing to get closer to the stage. Most people found that Plug In Baby, Knights of Cydonia, and Starlight were their favourite songs. The atmosphere was truly amazing, and Matt also showed off his piano skills playing Feeling Good, Newborn, and Butterflies and Hurricane, just to name a few.
An explosive version of Time Is Running Out got everybody jumping, and I, for good reason, fell over in the madness of the crowd. Because there were people shorter than me behind me, and I fell backwards behind them, so...
Starlight was another phenomenal piece. The lights were amazing and everybody was clapping along to the well-known beat. With the crowd singing along, you couldn't help but smile. The cameras were going mad again with phones in your faces.
During Bliss, about half a dozen massive balloons full of red confetti bounced around the crowd, some burst causing confetti to stick to the sweaty bodies. When the song finished, Matt said to the crowd, "We are not continuing until all these balloons have burst," and gave a laugh. A couple lighters were raised in a desperate attempt, but eventually all of them were burst with big cheers.
Matt's singing, in my opinion, was note for note perfect in every song. He's truly brilliant on stage.
Louise Singer said, "Just the whole thing was amazing. The music, the crowd, the computer graphic thingies, the atmosphere, it was unbelievable."
Brody Clunas says, "One of my best songs is Plug In Baby. Its introduction was amazing. The map of the problematic was really good as well, so Stockholm Syndrome and Hysteria. My personal favourites were Starlight and Supermassive Black Hole. I thought the lights were pretty spectacular and the atmosphere was amazing. Everybody loved it. I wasn't a big fan of these before the concert, but after hearing them live, definitely made me a fan, and it was something I will always remember."
A big thank you to everyone who brought in shoes for the Blue Peter Shoe Business Appeal goes out from the SFL department. A grand total of over 350 pairs of shoes has been collected, and they are now waiting collection. This amount of shoes will now pay for a bicycle for a Malawian health worker.
Here at TGSI, we want to find out the Gordon School's all-time favourite Christmas song. All you need to do to take part in this exciting interactive adventure is to text the title and artist of your favourite Christmas song to 07815-983-669. You will see the posters throughout the school with details. With a bit of luck, we will then be in a position to produce a show with our top 10 Christmas songs. So get texting. Remember, the number is 07815-983-669.
Well, that's it for TGSI for 2006. We've made a great start to our radio show and have had nearly 1,000 hits. Hopefully, as 2007 goes by, we can boost this number. Unfortunately, Matthew has had to rush out on a chemistry trip, and he's left me with the task of wishing all our listeners a Merry Christmas and a successful 2007.